little Shmuel came home from the yeshiva filled with joy. "Mommy, look what I have," he called out in excitement. "Look what I brought home from school." Saying this, little Shmuel opened his school bag and took out a beautifully covered sefer, a book, and called out, "See, Mommy? Here it is. I finally got my chumash. Boy, am I happy. I've waited so long for this, and now it's finally here." "Oh, my, what a beautiful cover," called out Mother in surprise as she took the chumash from Shmuel's hand and carefully opened it. "See, Mom, there's my name." "Oh, yes, this chumash belongs to Shmuel. Oh, how lovely. And what's this written at the top?" "Lashem Ha'aretz Umelo Ah." "Oh, yes, Mommy. My Rebbe wrote it there to remind me that even though this chumash belongs to me, yet, Lashem Ha'aretz Umelo Ah, the entire world and all that is in it belongs to Hashem, the creator of heavens and earth." "Oh, yes, Shmuley. That's so very true. Hashem created the whole world, and everything belongs to him." "Well, Tati will surely be so glad to find out that you are already learning Chumash for the very first time." "Oh, yes, Mommy. I just can't wait for Tati to get home from work so that I could tell him the good news." That night, right before going to sleep, Tati treated Shmuley to a special bedtime story. Shmuley placed the negelwasser right next to his bed, that is, the basin and the large cup of water to use in the morning as soon as he wakes up and says the modeh. Little Shmuley tucked himself comfortably under the blanket and waited for Tati to come in and treat him to a story. It didn't take long, and Tati came into the room and sat down right next to Shmuel's bed. In his hand was Shmuley's brand new chumash. "Mazel tov, Shmuel! Mazel tov! Now that you are learning chumash for the very first time." Saying this, Tati opened the chumash and pointed to the very first word of the Torah. "Come, Shmuley, let's say the very first sentence together. Okay?" "Gladly, Tati, gladly." Filled with excitement and joy, they both read the very first sentence of the Torah. "Bereshis, in the beginning, Boro Elokim, Hashem created, Eis Hashomayim, the heavens, the Eis Haaretz, and the earth." Then Tati looked at Shmuel and said, "Do you realize that Hashem is the one who said these words? It's surely a wonderful feeling to know that as we learn the Chumash, that is, the Holy Torah, we are learning the very same words that were said by Hashem himself." "Why, of course, Tati. And my Rebbe taught us in class how to respect and take good care of the Chumash. And you know what, Tati? I noticed how my Rebbe kissed the chumash as he opened it, and after reading from it, he again kissed it before putting it away." "Yes, Shmuel, that's how we show how much we truly love Hashem's holy Torah." Now Shmuel sat up in his bed and opened the first page of the brand new chumash and stared at it. He examined it so very carefully and then said, "Tati, could you please tell me, what are these three large letters at the bottom of the page? See, right here. A large resh, shin, and a yud. What do they mean, Tati?"
"Well, you see, dear Shmuel, in order to truly understand Hashem's holy Torah, we must know the meaning of each and every word. And it is for this reason why a great tzaddik, his name was Rabbi Shlomo, the son of Yitzchak, wrote an explanation on the Torah. He wrote it in such a way that we can all understand it. Yes, even a young child just like you, who is just beginning to learn the Torah for the very first time, you will understand it better by learning this explanation.
Oh, how interesting, Tati. But please tell me, what do the large letters Resh, Shin, Yud mean?
Well, they are the first letters of the words Rebbe, Shlomo, Yitzhaki. You see, the Resh is for Rebbe, the Shin is for Shlomo, and the Yud is for Yitzhak. And as we put these three letters together, we have the name Rashi.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes, Shmuel. And he surely was a very holy person to be able to write such a wonderful explanation on the Torah.
And Tati, his father Yitzchak must have been a great tzaddik too, in order to be blessed with such a holy child.
Why, of course. In fact,
do you know what? For tonight, I'm going to treat you to a very special story, and I know you're going to like it. You see, it's about Rashi's father. That's right, Reb Yitzchak.
And how he did something so very special in order to bring honor to Hashem. That is, a Kiddush Hashem. And in return for this, Hashem blessed him with a holy child as Shlomo, who later grew up to be the great and holy Rashi. And the story goes like this.
Rabbi Yitzchak lived many years ago in France. He was very famous for his great knowledge and wisdom in learning Torah. Students from all over would travel to Rabbi Yitzchak only to hear the way he taught the Holy Torah. Not only was he famous for his wisdom, but especially for his good deeds. He was truly a tzaddik, a very righteous person. And though Rabbi Yitzchak spent most of his time learning Torah, yet he set aside a few hours each day to attend to his business, through which he earned just enough money to support his family. He was a diamond dealer. He would buy diamonds and precious stones from the various merchants who would visit his town, and then he would sell them at a profit. One day, he came across a very precious diamond which was worth a fortune of wealth. And strangely enough, the owner was ready to sell it at a fraction of its true value. The owner of the stone was in the middle of a large business transaction and needed a large amount of money right away. Rabbi Yitzchak realized that it was truly a bargain. So he put together all the money he had and made an offer to the merchant. Rabbi Yitzchak was quite surprised when the merchant agreed, and he sold the valuable diamond at a very attractive price. Rabbi Yitzchak was so overjoyed with the deal. When he came home and showed the beautiful stone to his wife, she called out, "Baruch Hashem, how fortunate we are! Now we can give more tzedakah than ever before." Rabbi Yitzchak put the stone away in a very safe place and then went to the nearby shul to continue studying Hashem's Holy Torah. It didn't take long, and the word spread rapidly that Rabbi Yitzchak owns a very valuable stone. Many merchants came to his house at once to take a look at the rare and unusual stone. Each one would practically gasp at its beauty, the radiant colors, the way it was cut, and its large size. "Why, it's fit to adorn the crown of a king," they would say. Realizing the value of this diamond, Reb Yitzchak was sure that someone would come up with an attractive price in order to buy it. But so far, none of the local merchants were able to put together such a large sum of money all at once. So Reb Yitzchak waited patiently till the right merchant would come along.
A few days passed, and an officer came to Reb Yitzchak and told him that he was interested in buying the large diamond, providing it's the correct size that he needs. The officer was sent by the governor, who was searching for a large diamond. He told him that the governor will pay him the full price if this is the right stone he is looking for.
Reb Yitzchak was so pleased to hear that he has finally found someone who wishes to buy the precious stone. But, dear children, alas, Reb Yitzchak was shocked to find out that the governor planned to place the diamond into one of the idols that was used in his house of prayer. Reb Yitzchak just didn't know what to do. How can he get out of this deal? He knew that if he would refuse to sell the diamond to the governor, he will surely take revenge and punish him severely. Carefully, the messenger from the governor examined and measured the stone. And then he left, saying to Reb Yitzchak, "I'll be back tomorrow." Reb Yitzchak hoped that the stone would not be the right size needed for the statue. But alas, the messenger returned with the sad news.
"Reb Yitzchak, it's the exact size. It will fit perfectly. How much do you want for it? You name the price. I will pay for it."
Reb Yitzchak stood there motionless, not knowing what to do next. After a moment of silence, Reb Yitzchak thought of an idea in order to stall off the deal.
"Well, you see, I cannot sell the stone as it is. I must prepare it properly. I must wash it in a special chemical to remove any spots, and then polish it properly till it will shine in all its glory. Please come back tomorrow. It will probably be ready by then."
The messenger agreed, and he left the house. As the door closed, Reb Yitzchak began to recite the Tehillim, the book of Psalms written by David HaMelech, King David of blessed memory. As he read these holy words, he poured out his heart before Hashem, the merciful Father in heaven. He cried, "Hashem, please help me. I just don't know what to do. I will do anything in my power to bring honor to your holy name. Please, Hashem, guide me. Show me the way." It was late in the evening. Reb Yitzchak is home, sitting at the table, and in front of him is the box containing the large diamond. Slowly, he opens it and marvels at its unusual brilliant appearance. It was truly a rare diamond. As he held it up to the light, it gave off radiant colors of the rainbow, one brighter than the other. "True," he thought to himself, "the stone is worth a fortune of wealth. But Hashem is testing me. Though by selling the stone to the governor, I'm going to become so rich, I will no longer have to work for a living. I will be able to devote so much time to the study of Torah. And to top it all, I'll be able to give so much more tzedakah, more than ever before." But no, chas v'shalom, heavens forbid,
I don't care if I remain poor for the rest of my life. I will never take part in beautifying an avodah zarah, an idol. I'm going to return the stone to Hashem. Yes, I'm going to give it back to Hashem. I pray that he will accept it. I must glorify his name. I am ready to sacrifice this stone al Kiddush Hashem, to bring honor to his holy name. Saying this, Reb Yitzchak placed the stone back into the box. Yes, Reb Yitzchak had a plan in mind, a plan through which he was going to bring glory to the name of Hashem. Early the next morning, there came messengers from the governor asking that Reb Yitzchak come at once to see him. Reb Yitzchak left to see the governor, taking along the valuable stone. As he arrived, the governor welcomed him warmly.
Please be seated. Let me see the stone, please.
Reb Yitzchak hesitated for a moment and then said, Sir, let me explain this to you. Before I hand over the stone, I would like to make sure that you know what you are buying.
What do you mean by that? Asked the governor.
Well, you see, I want you to know that there is a very big difference if you look at the stone indoors or if you take it outside where the sun shines. Believe me, it has an entirely different appearance when you see it under the sunlight.
Very well, said the governor. Let's go out onto the porch and gaze at the stone under the sunlight.
Now the governor's office was located right near the seashore, and the porch extended right over the sea. And as they got out on the porch, Reb Yitzchak reached into his pocket, took out the box, opened it, and held the stone in his hand. See?
Reb Yitzchak called out.
Look at those colors. Aren't they beautiful?
But as the governor bent over to take the stone out of Reb Yitzchak's hand,
Reb Yitzchak shook his hand, and behold, the stone fell down.
Oh my, called out Reb Yitzchak. My stone! My stone!
Quickly, both Reb Yitzchak and the governor bent down to pick it up.
But alas, it bounced and rolled over and over till it fell off the porch and disappeared in the surging waters of the sea.
The governor stood there motionless as Reb Yitzchak called out,
Oh heavens! Oh heavens! Look what happened! Look what happened!
Yes, dear Shmuel.
Reb Yitzchak sacrificed the valuable stone only to bring honor to Hashem. And in return for his sacrifice, Reb Yitzchak was rewarded with something that was more precious than all the diamonds in the entire world. For the next day, as Reb Yitzchak entered into shul, put on his talis and tefillin, he suddenly heard a heavenly voice call to him.
Reb Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak, you sacrificed a brilliant stone in order to bring honor to Hashem. For this, you will be rewarded with a child who will bring much light to the entire world. His teachings will illuminate the world with the brilliant light of Torah for all generations to come.
Oh, thank you, Tati, for telling me such a wonderful story. I really enjoyed it.
Well, Shmuel, it's getting late.
You got to get up early for school tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes, Tati.
And tomorrow is such a very special day, too. Our Rebbe is going to treat us to a party. We're going to eat delicious foods, sing songs, and be so very happy. Yes, we want to show Hashem how happy we are to learn His holy Torah for the very first time.
Oh, how lovely. And you know what, Shmuley?
Pretty soon, your Rebbe is going to treat you to a lesson in Rashi. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, my. I just can't wait for that lucky day. Saying this, Shmuley took the siddur, which he always keeps next to his bed, kissed his father good night, and began reading the Shema Yisrael as his father left the room.